Chair and to listen. So thank you to those who have spoken. I was when Mike was talking, and we've chatted about this before, and I was thinking about how the things that God calls us from and into. Mike and I both worked for the same corporate company, RBS, when the word of God came to us to call us out of that environment. I don't miss it. Do you? No. It did take me a while to get used to not working in a bank, but, I don't miss it by any means, and I wouldn't want to be there now. The difference for Mike and me, Mike, forgive me for putting it like this, but Mike had it slightly easier in that you're made redundant. So God did a different thing. For me, I had here big career prospects. Regional manager had filled in an application form for me for a business manager job. I just needed to sign it and the job was mine. And over here, God saying, well, no, just give up your salary, give up all of that, go to Bible college. And I'm like, why don't we have a look at this one over here? And I was a little bit reluctant. And you used that phrase just now, didn't you? A reluctant Christian. And that struck me as well, thinking about how we're going to lead into communion now. That phrase, a reluctant Christian, rephrase that slightly, a reluctant follower of Jesus. And I've been reading through Matthew 26 whilst listening, of course. And we have here a bunch of people who are following Jesus, who at different moments were more excited and more energized and more willing to follow Jesus, to listen to the things he was saying, to do the things he was asking them to do, than at other points. At plenty of times, we see reluctant followers of Jesus in the disciples. And you know how often with communion, we kind of like add it on to what we're doing? I'm allowed to say that? We do, don't we, sometimes? It feels like, well, we'll preach a sermon quick. We better sing a hymn, do communion, because look at the time and J-team. And, you know, maybe it's only me who feels that. But we do. There are times, though, when we're able to pause and take our time like we are today. And often it's tempting as the one leading communion just to jump straight to the, oh, Jesus broke the bread and took the wine and blah, 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 and get to that bit quickly. But let's put it in context today. Because this is here where I want to touch on this whole thing about the reluctant followers of Jesus and his faithfulness in the midst of that. So I'm going to read a bit more of Matthew 26 than perhaps we would normally do. I'm going to begin where the Lord's Supper passage in Matthew begins. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So here we don't have any reluctance, do we? This is the eager followers of Jesus. Lord, where, when, how? What do you want us to do now? And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus said and directed them and prepared the Passover." Let me just pause there again. What did it mean to them when Jesus said, "Go and say this, the teacher says, my appointed time is near"? What were they expecting? What were they anticipating that to look like and to be like for them? They don't seem to question it. They go off and do what they've been asked. And so we carry on reading. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said this, "I tell you the truth, but one of you will betray me." That probably wasn't part of their plan, was it? And they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." And Jesus replied, "Well, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it's written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray Jesus, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." But now here comes the utter faithfulness of Jesus to keep going with what God has called him to, what he has come, been appointed to do. Because we don't see any different treatment of Judas at this moment than we see of the rest of the disciples. Because while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said to his disciples, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The next bit of Matthew 26 is Jesus predicting Peter's denial. Surely not part of Peter's plan again. But Jesus says this will happen, and here's Peter's reply. "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." And we know the story, don't we? Jesus goes on, explains to Peter, "Well, actually, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." And Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples did the same. These are not reluctant followers of Jesus again, are they? There are other points along the way where the disciples, Matthew goes on into Matthew 26 to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter is there again, isn't he? He is the one who's not willing to let Jesus go through the things that he is here to go through. And Peter's the one who lashes out, and Peter's the one who's put back into place. Peter is the one who is reluctant when it matters most to actually own the name of Jesus and not acknowledge the name of Jesus for himself. Jesus reinstates Peter later on. We read about that in John, back end of John's gospel. There's so much going on here, isn't there? Some of the time, the disciples are there, they're ready, they're committed, they're fully engaged. And other times, they're perhaps a bit confused, perhaps a bit bewildered, uncertain, reluctant. And what a good summary of our Christian lives. Some of us at times are perhaps more reluctant than others. Some of us are more, excited for Jesus at some points than we are at others. There's a whole, let's not pretend here. Let's be honest. We all have that ability in us, don't we? When I got up this morning, opened the curtains, I'm like, "Yeah, okay, Lord, don't feel like going anywhere today." And external factors kick in and our reluctance is there. Like, "Yeah, you've got to be kidding me. Don't want to be doing that." I probably shouldn't share with you how many times in ministry that happens, but that's another conversation for another day. And then other times we're just so ready, aren't we? We're just so ready to get up and get on serving the Lord and to engage in all that God is blessing us with. Be honest about that for yourselves for a moment. I'm going to pause, leave some time of quiet so that you can think about that for yourself, just as those who are serving come and join me at the table. Just meet with Jesus wherever you are at right now. Emma's commented about the hope being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be open to the Lord filling us this morning with his Spirit. And come with openness and honesty to him. And if your heart is full of excitement and enthusiasm, fantastic, celebrate that. If you're feeling a bit jaded around the edges, a bit reluctant, a bit uncertain, then bring that to God as well, knowing and that he will meet you in all of that. So just pause and be still and think about those things for a minute. One of the songs we sang earlier on, it reflects on the presence of Jesus with us in all things and at all times. We sang the word, "Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I'm restored. I am redeemed by your spirit. I am free." Father, thank you for this time this morning that we've had to be perhaps quieter, more reflective, to be still, and to know your presence, to hear about your presence, the work of your spirit in people's lives, Lord. And I pray that the things that we've heard will have connected with us, will have inspired us, lifted our hearts, Lord. And then as we've reflected around Matthew 26, just briefly, the words of that same song come in again freely. You gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. This is the love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life, forever our King is glorified, servant and King, rescued the world. This is our God. And Lord, help us always to put what we do and what we share around your table into its fullest context of all that you show us that you did with and through your disciples in that moment, Lord. You didn't treat Judas any different to anybody else. You don't treat any of us any differently to anyone else. Lord, in those moments when we are struggling, Lord, help us to feel your presence all the more. Lord, in those moments when we're celebrating and we're filled with joy, help us to remember your presence in the midst of all of that, and not to be carried away by whatever the excitement is, but Lord, to include you in it. Know that you're there, you're part of it. And Lord, as we come now to share this bread and wine together, thank you for all that you say to us through it. Father, we read how Jesus took bread and broke it. He did a very simple thing, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you did that so, yeah, almost very in a very matter of fact kind of way, around a meal, something that you shared with your disciples regularly. But in that particular moment, Lord, it was profound, and all that would come from it was just so incredible, Lord. Freely you did this for us. Now, in those moments when we would be excited for you, or those moments when we'd be more reluctant for you, even, Lord, those moments when we would turn away from you, but still you did it. So, Jesus, help us to hear those words again as we break bread together this morning. Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat, all of you." And Jesus took the cup and said, "This is to represent a new covenant marked in my blood. Take and drink from it, all of you." So, Father, as we are served, help us to remember that here is healing and restoration and renewal. And so, Father, as we take and eat and as we take and drink this morning, let's not just do this out of routine and in a thoughtless kind of way. But, Father, here, remember. Remember you, your sacrifice for us, and know that we are receiving here from you our healing, our renewing, and our restoring for you, Jesus, for your glory, and that we might know you fully in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.